I'm glad that my question is going to be on the recording. Ed, what does that say in your t-shirt? You're muted. God's work, our hands. Okay, thank you.
Oh, how funny. I have a little sign on the outside of my old office door downstairs that says something like, caution, the Lord's work in progress. My manager has decided to keep it. He thought it was funny.
So it has been a minute since I have been in this meeting. Has there been new co-chairs elected? Okay.
No, we actually haven't met since September.
Oh, okay.
I heard that earlier and I did not believe it.
I know, it's been
a while. It doesn't feel like it's been that long, and now I feel bad.
Yes.
Hey, Crown, do we know what the quorum is? Oh, I think Crown might be frozen. Just kidding. I can look really quickly.
Crown does look frozen.
I thought he was just practicing faces.
This is a very eerie looking at Crown right now. Huh. Weird. There we go. Much. Whew, that was a little chilling.
Oh, wow. So we do have quorum, actually.
So it's re-election of new co-chairs. It's Elaine and Cesar, right?
Yes.
Take it away, my brother.
You're muted, Cesar. But I don't think we actually, since we haven't met since September, I don't know if, Cesar, you want to go ahead and lead the meeting.
Oh, okay.
I know, I can put you on the spot.
It's okay. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the membership committee meeting. Let's see. Let's go around and do introductions. Just popcorn it to the next person. I'm Cesar Cadavis, council member. I'll put it to Ed.
Ed Chitty, council member. And let's go to John Paul.
Hi there, JP Soto, council member. I'll go ahead and switch it over to Gwen.
Hello, everybody. Gwen Smith, council member.
Great, let's go to Kira.
Kara, council staff, and I'll go to Ron.
Hi, Ron Hernandez, committee member. Pedro, go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Pedro Felix, I'm a council member, and I'll go to Mark.
Mark Molnar, council staff.
Great, welcome, everyone. Let's see, next item on the agenda is to review and approve the September minutes.
Oh, the agenda probably first.
Oh, sorry. Oh, review and approve the agenda. Okay, sorry. Any edits to the agenda, or you want to? Can we have consensus to approve as is? Seeing no no's. agenda approved. Next, it's the review and approve for the September 8th minutes. September, huh? Any comments or edits for the September meeting minutes? Okay to approve by consensus? Okay, I'll take that as consensus. Thank you. Next is announcements. Are there any announcements? Yes, Mark.
Hi. So I've been told that that Newsom will eventually be putting Brown Raker back into effect, which of course impacts the ability of some commissions to meet in person versus virtually. If it does go back in effect, I think if I recollect, Kira, correct me if I'm wrong, that there is actually a tie in this group about whether to be in person or virtual. So just as a reminder, per the discussion, if the committee does decide to remain virtual per Brown Raker, that means that your votes, including votes for new members, can only be recommendations. And then they would then go to the next in-person leadership body. So most likely steering, I assume would be in person. And then they would vote in person for whatever this committee has recommended. Does that make sense? That's not saying that you all are automatically staying virtual. That's all. That's only to if you determine you want to stay virtual. Does that make sense? Any questions? All right.
Great. Thank you. Any other announcements? Okay. Public comment. There's no members of the public. Crown, welcome. I know you were in earlier and just got it. Could you introduce yourself to the group?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. So hello, my name is Crown. I am council staff.
Great, welcome.
Thank you.
You muted yourself?
Sorry about that. next item on the agenda is a council co-chair election.
All right, I can jump in there. Right. Perhaps you muted yourself unconsciously for this coming agenda item. So the committee does need to elect at least one committee co-chair, preferably two. The responsibilities for this role are to, number one, approve the agendas in advance of the meeting. Number two, to facilitate or co-facilitate this meeting. And then number three, one of them to appear at the steering committee to provide reports. Although, you know, there was a sort of a special circumstance that was created for this particular set of co-chairs, which alleviated them having to do that. But as a rule, those are the three responsibilities of the committee co-chair, parentheses S. All right, so the floor is now open. Who would like to nominate themselves or nominate someone else? JP, did you just say I'd like to be a committee co-chair? I thought I heard
sure the hell didn't.
Oh. I mean, I think Pedro Felix, and who was that who said that? I think that was you, no?
No, Cesar, but all seriousness, you know, I've been on the council for a really, really, really long time and have done these. So I actually usually defer to newer folks to have that leadership opportunity because I've done committees and I've done the actual full council in my 100 years on the council.
You know, experience is so valued. And as far as experience goes, I would say that both Gwen and Ed have a lot of experience. They have just so much. I feel like that we can learn from these community forces. Either of you like to step up or maybe even just nominate each other. Ron, you've been such a sterling member of the council for, you know, quite a while as well. Community member, strong presence. How about you?
Okay, if we can find another co-chair, I will step up.
All right, so Ron, Ed has nominated himself. Is there a second to Ed's nomination?
I second that.
All right, Ron. Yeah. All right, excellent. We're just looking for one more.
Felix, would you like to...
It's an exciting growth opportunity.
You know, I am definitely interested in those positions, but I don't think quite yet. I think I'm on the opposite end of where JP is right now, where I feel like I'm just starting and sort of absorbing the whole processes. So I'll step back for a little bit more, but we'll definitely be interested, hopefully not too long from now.
Right.
Ron, you haven't done anything.
Cesar, you've provided excellent leadership during the past pandemic. Would you be interested in continuing in your role as a co-chair to Ed Chitty? You're on mute, I guess.
Yeah, sure. That's fine.
Well, just out of curiosity, really quick, are there any folks that are officially part of this committee that are not here?
Oh. Billy Cooper.
That it?
And Elaine Flores.
Okay.
All right. So Cesar, I'll count that as a self-nomination. Is anyone going to second Cesar's self-nomination? All right. Any other nominations for committee co-chair? All right. Any opposed to the two nominations on the floor? Congratulations, Ed and Cesar. You are our new membership committee co-chairs.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you for your support.
We appreciate you both.
Yes.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is the council member attendance report. We go through these. The only item is the current leave of absences. So there's a request for leave of absence. What do we know about this? And
the leave of absence request were for, I don't have the agenda in front of me, for which two folks?
Billy Cooper and Matt Geltmaker.
All right. Well, this will allow us to mark, if we haven't already, them as excused, certainly for leave of absence. So I don't think, Kira, please remind me, I don't think the committee has voted on this yet, because I think they turned theirs in, like Matt did in January, so I know not for Matt. And Miss Billy told me this in November? October. Okay, so y'all need to vote. So someone needs to make a motion to approve or not approve the leave of absence requests. And you should know that Miss Billy's, this is going to be a retro because Miss Billy would no longer be on a leave of absence. This was for, I think, November and January, and Matt's is for January and February. Again, Kira, correct me if you're wrong, if you felt you've seen different things on email.
No, that sounds right.
All right.
I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me either. Is there expected limit to that leave?
Yeah, there are two leaves of absences allowed per year for all council members.
Did they say for how long?
2 months.
Okay.
I mean, that's the standard for LOA. All right, who would like to, JP, is there a second to that?
Second.
I'm sorry, I'm taking your job, Cesar. You should be calling for a vote.
Second by Ed. Okay, great. So can we agree by consensus to approve these current leaves of absence? One is retroactive, one is happened already, so we still have to vote on it. And one is happening now for Billy Cooper and Matt Geltmaker. I'll say aye. Great, thank you.
So just out of clarification again, sorry to come back to it. So if they're for 2 months and Billy's goes back to November, does that bring her back soon?
That means that she is back officially as of January. I'd have to check
in December, yeah?
There were no meetings in December, so we don't even count that. Yeah. So if she told me that in November, I'll have to just trace my voicemails. I'm so sorry I didn't have this just automatically for you. It wasn't via email, it was via a voicemail. So if she told me this in October, that would be for October and November. If she told me this in November, it'd be for November and January. So I would just suggest, because Miss Billy has also been dealing with some medical stuff, membership, you're certainly allowed to know that, although it should certainly be kept within the group. Kira should just be marking her excused either way, actually, LOA or not. For Matt did send us an email in January requesting that leave of absence. So that's definitely for January and February.
Great.
Make sense?
Thank you. Great. Any other thoughts, questions?
Cesar, I just want to let you guys know I'm here. I'm sorry I'm late, but I'm here.
Hi, Elaine.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's see. Next item on the agenda is a demographic information update.
And I can do that. Let me just share my screen really quick. And this is the EPI demographic report. And so we just saw a change in total number of members since Ken Pierce did leave the council. So that brings our total number down to 25 from 26. There was only one change. And since September, there were no changes. Since we last met, there were no changes. So this is the only big change that's happening. And we're still looking at the same target areas, though. So that's the EPI. And I'll pull up the Aries.
Can you remind us really quick what the maximum that we agreed on membership?
50.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Keep in mind that most planning councils probably have around, I don't know, less than 20. Sorry, Elaine. I mean, Kira.
And then this, the Aries report, this just reflects that same information, but just broken down differently. So we're still looking at 25 members.
Can you hold that for a moment so we can just sort of study that for a little bit? So for total HIV positive, we are certainly in or over compliance 33%, but we're under compliance, not by that much, for non-aligned. So that's important for us. We do need at least one, I think would bring it up, ideally two unaligned consumers to bring us up to 33%. As far as, you know, it's interesting because of the reduction of one council member, I think that's changed these percentages a little bit. We're near there with Black African American, 16% versus a 19.9. We're overrepresented with one Asian Pacific Islander. So Latino Hispanic, we have zero. Okay.
Oh.
So I'm not to talk about Elaine in the third person, but Elaine is affected. And even though not as a consumer of services, my understanding, I'd have to double check HRSA guidelines, but my understanding is that affected community, meaning family members and partners who would provide support to a PLWH would be included in that. At least that's actually how I've reported it to the feds. So I wonder if we can boost that up by one. And what we'd see eventually there. I mean, we can see that next month, obviously. But let me look back into that. You know, that is what I recall, though. And I don't think there's been any new guidance around that. I'd have to double check.
Mark, could you define non-aligned consumer?
Certainly. A non-aligned consumer of services is a person who is HIV positive, who uses Ryan White Part A services in any capacity whatsoever, and who is not staff or a board member. By board, I don't mean consumer advisory board, a board with fiscal responsibility of an agency that receives Ryan White Part A funds. So that means for example, if a person was positive, used services, but also worked at Shanti, they would not be considered a non-aligned consumer because they have a conflict of interest, which is the psychosocial support that Shanti provides. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I thought Pedro would like to know that too.
All right. Okay. So it seems like we're doing okay. We're just under, right? We're under at least for Black African-American, at least one to two for just overall unaffiliated, and several for Latino Hispanic.
Mark, I have a question. I thought we did have enough Latino group that is besides me that are.
I thought so too. I guess I was wrong. I'm trying to think of our Latino/Hispanic council members. Yeah. And now that I consider them, I think they all work for government agencies or CBOs. You and I think that's that means they would not be under that last column.
Okay. All right. Now you're right. Yeah, we do have some, but they are government officials. Okay. I just was curious, but yeah, I think you're right.
I wanted to mention, I'm not sure I'm following the conversation. And so I'm not sure what is it that we're looking at and what is it that we're discussing.
Oh, sure. Okay, so I'll walk you through it. So look at the first column that has yellow in it. It's actually column number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It has a percentage at the top. Okay. You see that?
Yes.
So that is what that reflects how many HIV positive Ryan White Part A consumers of services there are in our particular EMA. So for example, white, not Hispanic, 40.9% of consumers of Ryan White Part A services are white or not Hispanic. So you look at that number and you want, what we want to do ideally is to at the very least reflect, and in the case of non-white identities, overrepresent potentially. And so that means we would then look at the last column and see, do we have at least 40.9% white / not Hispanic on our council? And as you'll see, we have 66.7. So we're definitely overrepresented when it comes to white folks. But if you look one lower, now going all the way back across to Black, African-American, and column six in the second cell there, you see that the epidemic here in San Francisco includes 9.9% Black African-American. So we should ideally have at least 19.9% of our council members be Black or African-American, okay, unaligned consumers of services. And so we see here 16.7. So that's close. That's one council member away from over 19.9, but we're under. And so we have to report to the feds that, yes, we're under that. And then we can just go track back and forth over and over again. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does now. Okay. Thank you.
Sure thing. And then at the very bottom, you'll see another thing that we should be in compliance with, which is our total HIV positive. So ideally, they would like 33% of the council to be at the very least positive, but most importantly, unaligned. And so you'll see here we have 6 non-aligned consumers. That's that middle cell, actually. And then right next to it, you'll see that equals 24%. So we're definitely under. I'd say that of all of these, the biggest concerns here that would be something that I'd have, or Dave would have to explain to our program manager from HRSA during our monthly meetings, is what's going on with the 0% Latino Hispanic? That's a problem. And they would look at the non-aligned consumers and say, okay, well, work on that. You're not at 33. That possibly would be their reaction. And the biggest thing that I think would come out of that is, okay, well, the 0% is not cute. You need to come up with a plan of action for that. Make sense?
Makes sense. Thank you. Yeah.
During the pandemic, which is, I think, per the feds, I don't know if there's been an official announcement yet, if it's over. I don't know if it's over. But during this pandemic, they have been very relaxed about this, for sure. So we have not gotten any kind of like notes or anything like that about it. That might change. That will change if this proceeds, like I'd say, for another year. They would say, you know, there will be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be a problem.
Mark, you're going to get clarification on the affected family or partner of a non-aligned consumer?
I will. I'm going to double check that, make sure what I've been doing for the past few years is correct.
I don't have the agenda in front of me. Is there are we discussing membership recruitment today?
Yes, that's after this discussion of demographic information.
All right, so does anyone need any more time looking at this?
Any other questions about the report? Great. Okay, thank you. So yes, the next item on their agenda is a discussion about council recruitment to discuss some council member recruitment strategies. Go ahead, JP.
I just want to suggest that I know that last fall, I had actually referred somebody from the mentorship project that was happening over at Shanti. Unfortunately, it didn't go well at the time, but I think that still is a great base to do some outreach of folks that are interested in leadership positions within this work. Is there a way for us to like make an official ask outreach announcement that
we absolutely would like? I can definitely hold that because I oversee the mentorship component of that here at Shanti.
So I didn't want to put you on the play. I thought you were, but I didn't want to.
Yeah. That's okay. So what I'll do is I'll connect with Katie Faulkner, who oversees the entire program over at Springboard Health Labs, and we'll come up with a plan. I think that's a very good suggestion. I don't know how many of the current mentors or mentees, as you mentioned, great growth opportunity, would identify as Latino Hispanic. Hopefully some. But I love that idea, and I'll do it. And I also, unfortunately, have to say that I'm going to have to leave this meeting in 2 minutes to go do this. No.
Well, in that case, your excuse.
Any other thoughts, comments for the discussion around recruitment strategies?
Yeah.
Ron and then Ed.
Well, those that I've talked to who were potential candidates, in my eyes, they're non-aligned consumers. They're older and they don't work. They're disabled. And so a lot of them want to participate, but they want to be part of, let's say, the community. So they need to find something that's out of their apartment. They need to maybe lessen or alleviate some isolation. So when I tell them this is all on Zoom, they're not really interested in that. They really want to meet in person and feel like they're doing something out of the home.
Mm-hmm. That may change with Brown Raker. At the very least, our full council and our steering committees will have to meet in person. So that's something I think to keep an eye on, Ron.
Yeah, the bulk of the consumers are those who are not aligned and those who are doing it voluntarily. It has nothing to do with work. Mm-hmm. They want to be part of something and they want to volunteer for something that gets them out of the apartment.
That's great.
Something to think about, because a lot of our consumers, we're dropping. So if we want to get them back, we got to kind of make it convenient for them, whatever their needs are.
Great. Just a comment on that. I think that what Mark said is that there may be a transition. At some point, there probably will be a transition to in-person. So if there are folks who are not familiar with the council process and so forth, maybe it's an opportunity to attend one of the council meetings online for them to get a flavor of what we do. And then that would be a little bit more, would help them around the decision-making around that. Because right now, if people aren't familiar with the council, it's kind of a mysterious entity that, so with a Zoom, that's an opportunity for them to kind of connect and see what we're doing. But thanks. Ed?
Yeah, do we have any connections with the trans group or Hive? They are pretty active and it might be a way of bringing in some of the groups that we're lacking. Membership in. Mark?
I think he's already gone, Ed.
Oh, okay.
I think he was just saying goodbye.
Oh, I thought he was going to say, oh, yes, we know someone.
If you guys don't mind, I'm raising my hand. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm on
okay. Okay, Elaine, and then Thomas.
Okay. How is it, have we done any reach out to the communities and maybe sending out, I think we had a discussion before about flyers being representative for the council, sending them out, doing reforms and reaching out when we do forum meetings.
I know, I can speak on this a little bit. I know Dave usually leads this discussion. And I know in the past we have discussed this and he's been kind of against flyers, but I think it would be worth looking at it a little bit more because I think that can be a potential outreach method.
Right. Even with our forum meetings, if you guys, I know you guys do community forum meetings as well. Maybe because that's how we got ours here in Marin, by just every year when we do our forum meetings, we reach out to the community and say, hey, we have seats available for our council. If you guys are interested, please give us a call or let us know if you're interested. Anything like that that would reach out, we usually hand out the little flyer to them when they show up to the forum meetings, and we'll have the flyers there for them. So in the case they do want to fill it out, they can.
Yeah, and actually me and Crown and I will be doing a needs assessment in person for a focus group. So hopefully we'll also be talking about the council, and hopefully we'll be able to recruit some kind of membership.
Yeah, there you go.
You're right. Thank you. Thomas and then JP. Sorry.
Ed, did you want to respond to that? You looked all eager.
Oh that's okay. I couldn't see the hands. The glare was on my screen there. I can wait.
Okay, no worries. So I'm trying not to be cranky. But I feel like we've had this conversation multiple times over the years, right? Those of you who have been on membership, this just is a little bit of deja vu. Is that fair?
We have, yes.
So I'm kind of hoping, what I would suggest is that we do a different, that we do some kind of different process. And I'm thinking what might be helpful is maybe right now, just kind of brainstorming a 3 or 4 step meeting agenda to kind of take this issue on. And I don't know what those 3 or 4 steps would be, but something that's a little bit more, more than a 20 minute kind of brainstorm on how to increase recruitment. And something that's a little bit more like, okay, step one is that we create a flyer. Step two is that we reach out to our contacts at Ryan White funded clinics. And step three would be that we follow up or something. I have no idea, but that I just want to put that into the space. And that's how I was kind of, yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Thomas. JP?
Oh, sorry, already unmuted. I just wanted to go back to the point about us being virtual. Obviously, as Mark mentioned, something about the mayor's office and also the federal protections for some of the COVID protections are going away at the end of this month, right? And we've already are on the verge of going back. But I wonder if orientation is happening in person in any way, shape, or form for new folks as they're coming in. And then also just keep in mind that mentorship can also be in person and an opportunity to get out if mentors are willing to step up and to meet in person during the first few months of somebody's beginning.
Mm-hmm. Great. I've seen folks mentor or do a buddy system with council members. How does that happen? Is there a formal process that staff coordinates how does that happen in the past? Does anybody know? Or anybody been mentors? So
in the past, new members have been asked, would they like a mentor? We had a list of people that volunteered. Okay. As suggestion, people that can help them, learn the ropes quickly. Mm-hmm. And if they had another council member that wasn't on the list, that person would be reached out to see if they felt, comfortable being a mentor for mm-hmm. a specific individual. But in the past, it's been offered, I think, to the member, but I don't know if it's just in passing or if it's something that we really think you would get more out of the council if you had a buddy to work you through, that you can sit through and see how the procedures work, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So it's there, but we may not be pushing it.
Okay. Thank you. That's helpful. I mean, maybe at some point down the line, it would be kind of interesting to look at that in terms mm-hmm. of having a discussion with people who have actually mentored folks or been mentored, and how that process is helpful or could be more helpful. But I think that's another discussion in terms of retention of members. Ed, were you going to speak on something else?
Yeah, I was going to say, we've done flyers, we've done word of mouth. I think it's time that we become what I used to call taking the dog and pony show on the road. Actually trying to, if there's a staff meeting where we could actually come in and present what the council does, talk to individuals. It may be that they're having a focus group, or they may be having some type of social get together, that we could go in 5 or 10 minutes of their time, mingle with the people and find out if there's an interest. And if so, you know, what's drawing them. And if not, find out what's putting them off. Mm-hmm. But I think we need a personal contact. I think that we need to put a human face back on things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we have connections through council members and mm-hmm. periphery around folks who are directly connected to programs like Trans Thrive or Black Brothers Esteem. And they have regular meetings or gatherings, mm-hmm. whether it's social or workshops or so forth. And I think maybe one idea is to put that out, is like, if you would like to invite us to one of your meetings so that we can let folks know about the council. We're always looking for members. That's one way to kind of do it. Again, we would have to kind of figure out, like Tom was saying, step 1, 2, and 3, but we have the access, we have the contacts, we have folks that could make that happen. It's just steps 1, 2, and 3 of how to actually make that happen. I want to go back to the flyers issue, because some folks have mentioned that. Some folks have said, well, that's kind of a little outdated. Nobody uses flyers anymore. I think both are true, but at a certain level, I still see flyers like at Strut or Ward 86 or in places mm-hmm. like that. So I don't think that that's something that we need to toss aside. I think on the other hand, maybe there needs to be some digital flyers that, because everybody I know, San Francisco AIDS Foundation, San Francisco Community Health Center, all these folks have social media. And so that's another way to like distribute flyers, is if we have contact folks to say, can you share something that the council might develop, like an Instagram square or something, and a link for more information, or an email for more information and so forth, that could be distributed in a much more, you know, in addition to laying out flyers, in another way that people access information. So I don't know, there's that thought in terms of flyers and promoting this and recruitment. Go ahead, Pedro.
Yeah, I agree. I think flyers are being used, but in a different way. I think flyers are still very useful in terms of like information seeking or information gathering. So if someone is interested or has some thoughts about a program or a council that they might join, I think they look for some sort of information, and a flyer is a quick way of like figuring out what it would be helpful. So I think people do look for those things. I also agree with the t-shirts. I think that would provide visibility, and that would be great. But I also, and I apologize if this question is a little basic, but who would be the people that we were looking for the council? Like, who would be ideal council members that we want to recruit? I know that we're looking for Latine folks, but what would be other characteristics of the folks that we're trying to attract?
Okay. Good question. Elaine, did you want to say something?
Oh, yeah. Before we get into that, I just was curious to know, because I know what worked. We were kind of losing base here in the Marin side. So going back to what kind of like what Ed said about having like maybe like a group of four or maybe two that represents the full council and going up to these upcoming events, like I said, the four meeting, and kind of putting us out there and letting us, letting the community know that we're here and that you can be involved too, giving them the experience of what we, that we share as a, as the council, and just giving them the feedback, just having some members go to these community events and just putting us out there by just letting them know what we do, what the work we do, how long we've been there, what we gain out of it. I think having the live people being there representing the council actually opens up to a whole bunch of people to say, okay, well, this person's just like me. I can do this too. So just giving them the feedback on what we do and the joy that we get out of it, of being part of a member.
That sounds good. I mean, I think the issue again is just the process around who makes contact to who and how do we set that up? Who would be the people that would go into these meetings? And you know, some of these meetings are in person, but some of them are still happening on Zoom. Just a question to council staff, what kind of support can we talk about with staff around recruitment? Everything that we talked about in terms of flyers, in terms of contacting organizations and that sort of thing.
Oh, do you have something to add?
Well, I mean, definitely, I think the digital flyer is a great idea. And if we're able to get into contact with people that are also utilizing digital flyers, like Ace Foundation, I know definitely, like I see their stuff kind of pop up on my site all the time. How can we connect with them to be like, hey, can you all send this out? Is kind of something we can probably do. And then in regards to the mentorship clarification around that, are we talking about Fog and Chili? Mm-hmm. That's the name. Different mentorship?
Yeah, we were talking about recruiting out of those programs along with some of the other programs, but there is a mentorship. There is a official mentorship program. I just don't remember the last time that we actually talked about or figured out who was up for this, but there is a program that we've had for years here in the council of people that would like to step up, and it should be a part of the formal process when new folks are coming up if they would like to be connected with someone. That's definitely something to look at, because I honestly can't remember the last time we were asked. But I think it's time, especially with coming back.
I think it was about 4 years ago, and I think Ken Pierce was the mentor.
Mm-hmm. Liz Doris?
I know we have had, sorry, JP, just go to ahead. Go off a little bit and add a little bit to that. We the recent orientation that we did have was for Manuel and Pedro, and that was virtual, so it wasn't in person. But we did, I know there was like, I don't know, I can't recall really like how much it was pushed, but I know they were offered whether they wanted a mentor or not. And so so that was still something that was being offered. But yeah, I don't know how, if I would say like that it was really being pushed though.
Any other thoughts, questions?
Can I ask a question about the flyer real quick?
Mm-hmm.
How difficult would it be to have a QR code on the flyer? So if someone is interested in it, rather than writing it down or carrying it, they can just, you know, take a picture and the information's there on their phone for when they, you know, have a chance to look at it.
It wouldn't be hard at all to put them on the flyers. I think, I mean, in this, I know that, whether there's a question if it's on the digital flyer as well as the hard copy flyer, some folks do that. For me, if you're looking at something on your phone to take a, can you take a something on, if it's, if you're looking at a flyer on your phone, can you copy the QR code?
I just went through that recently. Yeah. You have to have an app in order to.
Okay. Well, because if you're on your phone and you're looking at a digital thing, you can click on a, if it's a link and everything. So there's ways that people can access the information easier on their phone. But I think a QR code and a hard copy flyer would be great. They can, you know, while they're in the waiting room at Strut or something, they can kind of go to the site of the console, the website of the console, mm-hmm. and it has that information, right? I haven't been on the website in a while about being a member and recruiting members and so forth.
Okay, yes, it's great. There.
Great. In addition, I think that with a digital flyer and the hard copy flyers, once we meet in person, I think to start, we could distribute it to all of the council members. And they are part of or know people who are part of agencies that we can outreach to and get it on social media. So I think that's something to kind of think about as a start. But I think that, is there any thoughts or questions about our targeted recruitment? Like we're saying, there are certain folks or communities that we need represented here. So do folks have any thoughts about that? I know that we talked about organizations in general. Would that be the same thing or would it be different for different communities? Thomas?
That's a great question. I just wanted to, so I didn't have an answer to that question. So if folks have a response to that question, let's take that first. Does anybody have a response to Ben's question?
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, just from the conversations I remember from just looking at it, I think that we're definitely looking at those two populations of persons of color. But I think that just a reminder that we're even more specific than that, we're still looking at the non-aligned consumers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Kira, do you have
something? Oh, yeah, I just wanted to add to that we are, I know it has been mentioned before, we are still looking for like quote unquote young people. Not that everyone here isn't young, but
well, I think that maybe using social media might, I don't know, it might help that given the access to it, and that's kind of what young people do, I think.
Hey Caesar, I actually we had that discussion here too, because we're trying to grab the young, which is very hard. But mm-hmm. we kind of came up and we're like, hey, that kind of works. Let's see if we can do that. Trying to like connect with all the universities. You know how there's some kids that are taking political science? Mm-hmm. Maybe reaching out to that group of people, of youngsters, that this will give them an opportunity to practice on mm-hmm. what their career goals are headed for, that this would be a great opening to do so. And just kind of try out there and all the universities and colleges.
I'd like to suggest that says that our new committee co-chair, Cesar and Ed Chitty, put out a TikTok that's mm-hmm. basically all about how fun and hot it is to be a planning council member.
Yeah, I've heard of TikTok. I'm not really familiar with it. I'm still, still using Facebook. So.
Same here.
Ron or Tom, did you have something? What were you going to? Okay, Ron.
Yeah, I just wanted to echo what Elaine mentioned earlier about getting a task force together. That's something similar to what I suggested a few months ago. Maybe get a small group of people, maybe one or two volunteer to go out to these meetings where we mm-hmm. can see who's engaged, any consumers who we think are what we need. And we approach them individually and tell them what we are all about.
Are you volunteering to be part of that task force, Ron?
If we had a small task force, we had a list of these meetings that we could target, then I think it would be fun. That's something I know I brought it up, so I should volunteer, right? But,
thank you for volunteering. Okay. I can help you with a list.
Okay. So. Well, yeah. Then that is okay.
I mean, we can all like kind of brainstorm it too. And
yeah. Okay. So all right. So that is something that we don't really need to get the council or committee to authorize. We could just go out mm-hmm. there on our own.
Yeah. Just a note, in JP's in the chat, about youth, that Youth have always been difficult to recruit and maintain. And that's something that, you know, as we talk about recruitment, as we talk about members, I think that that's, I mean, not only is that very true, that's also kind of true for maybe some other folks. Maybe it might be for older folks or folks who are not as connected and so forth. So I think it is important to kind of think about the support that we give members and how to continue to do that so that they stay engaged. That's why I think that, you know, again, back to the idea of if we could have a discussion with folks who have mentored and been mentored and see how that's been, how that's worked, and what are the strengths and what are the weaknesses around that. Because that was the very intention of that mentoring, is to, you know, support the new people and maintain their membership and so forth in the council. Mark, did you have something to say?
Yeah, to follow up with what Ron was saying, what we used to do and which we could still do again, in particular, if we are going to have some in-person component, I think that is an important thing for community members. What we used to do is a member of council staff, usually me, sometimes Enrique, if you all recall Enrique, would go with a council member or two to a support group. Or to a community advisory group that was, you know, either specific to an agency, obviously, as a CAB would be, or specific to a particular race, culture, you know, ethnic group. And so we went to Native American support groups. And we actually got a Native American council member that way. We've gone to Latino support groups. We've gone to Black support groups, and have definitely had interest almost at every single place that we went to. Eventually, at least one, sometimes more people would reach back out. So that's something that I think has been clearly on hold for quite a number of years. Pre-pandemic, it's been on hold because we haven't really had the need, but we clearly have a demonstrated need here with that spreadsheet that Kira shared with us. So yeah, following up with what Ron said, I'm glad that we have our first volunteer in Ron. Like, that's something that we can do. You know, that's something that, like, Ron and I can go somewhere, or Kira and Ron can go somewhere, or, you know, crown in a lane somewhere. You know, we just have to be able to, you know, the bulk of the outreach would be like council support, just describing what the council is, and a council member describing what their experience on the council has been, and really talking it up is like the wonderful special experience that has been. And yeah, I think, I don't know if we could do this immediately, but certainly as if we move, as suspected, into at least a partial hybrid place, I just think that could be potentially very appealing to people who, you know, want to contribute back to the community, per what Ron described, as far as folks who just want to get back out there, or per the suggestion from JP, like folks who actually want to, like, do some resume building, whether it's via the Chili group or something else. But yeah, I think in person when possible, and I do know that a lot of support groups these days are meeting in person. Okay, that's me.
Great. Thank you. Other folks?
Go ahead,
Ed, and then Elaine.
Okay. That's what Ron was talking about. That's exactly what I meant when I said dog and pony show.
Got it.
I'll be the dog.
I'll be the pony.
Elaine, did you have something else to say?
Yeah, what I was just going to say, I put that out there also because of the fact that it's been working here for us. We have a forum committee coming up in April, I believe, and we already put our agenda of what the topic is going to be. It's going to be pretty much to the community about mental health and getting back to life after COVID, getting out and not being too afraid to mingle with other people. And having that be said, it's also a great opening to have people who maybe just want to get out and start doing something fun and adventurous, or getting people out into the community again. This would be a great way to also represent the council. It's also like I'm just putting it out there and say this is an opportunity to move on and open up to a variety of things. But yeah, we do need those members to go out into these meetings and present ourselves out there, because it's worked here.
Mark, did you have something else to say?
Yeah, so I think it's nice to talk about these things, but let's come up with a plan, y'all. Yeah. I think we can create a plan like literally right now, at least for some part of this. The student thing is a little bit beyond my ken, but I think that's a great idea, Elaine. Maybe I'll put that sort of like bit of a back burner, because what I know more is like the system of CBO care here in San Francisco. And I do know for sure that there are targeted support groups for Black African-American folks and for Latino folks. So I think what we could do is twofold. On your end, if you are a part of, or if you are a service provider who provides, or if you just know of particularly targeted groups to our the three different areas, right? Latino, Black, and youth. If you are aware of those, please send that to council staff. And then what I could do with the team is Kira Crown and I can look at the resource guide basically, and then just sort of assign ourselves, like, let's reach out to this support group and see if it's still happening. And so once we start like getting places that we can go and connect to those places, and that could be, you know, the council support role to find out like when these meet, then we'd probably just put it out to the committee and say, okay, well, these are when we can go. Who is going to go with us? How does that sound for a plan?
That's great.
Sounds good.
That sounds good.
I was going to say, so this is what I suggest that we bring to the next meeting, that we start making lists of groups, particular communities and so forth that meet on a regular basis that would be good for us to go and visit. I also would think that would be great that once we start this, we have kind of a, what do you call it? Not a speech, but a package kind of presentation of what it's like to be on the council. So if Dog and Pony Show people like Ron and Ed and Elaine, if you could work on that kind of thing and present it at our next meeting, since this is gonna be an ongoing discussion, can staff develop a flyer based on the old flyer, both a hard copy and a digital one, but update it so that it's like, fresh and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yes.
But I think that would be great. So if the list of groups and meetings and the target populations for those, the flyer and the, I know there's a word for it, the talk, the speech, that whatever.
Are you talking about an elevator speech? Just like a...
Yes, the pitch. Yes, the pitch. That's it.
Yeah.
So that we make sure that whoever goes out has something, and it's always consistent, that it covers what we want it to cover, and so forth. I think that would be helpful because it seems too mysterious when you say, oh yeah, go out into the community and everything, and nobody's really volunteering. But if we're looking at what we actually need to bring out, then it would be helpful. So I think that would be great. Okay. And I'll, email council staff to remind the rest of us about these assignments and to bring them to the next meeting. Other thoughts, Ed, were you raising your hand?
I was gonna definitely say it needed to be scripted with certain points that we always wanted to hit so that we're not doing a mixed message.
Right, exactly.
We should also have the word government bureaucrat somehow woven throughout it.
You'll just use your name.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's it.
I think it could start off with, you know, your own reasons of why you joined the council and then what we do and then, you know, how it impacts and how it has impacted services these past few years and everything. Exactly how many members does the council, seats does the council have? And how many seats are open?
25 are open.
25 are open?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, but they're not specific seats.
So that was, like, yeah, so.
So we can take, because we put our cap at 50, we can take all appropriate comers for
right,
sure.
Right. So the other thing I was gonna say about that, and because Mark, you made the comment about how some councils aren't that big. And I know that when we first merged, was that the reason that we have such a large, because we wanted to make sure that.
Yeah, because we were actually at like 48 or something, some crazy number like that.
We wanted to honor each council as we mm-hmm. went into the merge and everything. Is that something that's still necessary, or does it matter?
To me, it does not matter. The only thing that really comes out of it is whenever I mention the number 50 to our HRSA project officer or to any other EMA or TGA, I get like a really shocked responses.
Does it reflect okay if we say 50, but we only have 25?
The only time it comes up is literally during my own contract monitoring, when I have to remind internal DPH folks that you cannot ding me for having less than 50 because it's a ceiling, not a floor. That's literally the only time it comes up. It's just like when they try to score me down, which I don't stand for.
So, Mark, the numbers that are kind of representative of what we're trying to hit with regards to being reflective of the communities that are accessing services, it doesn't impact those calculations.
It would if there was something hard and fast about those seats. HRSA has as you all know, had a list of potential appointed seats released, 20 years ago? Those have barely changed. Certainly CDC has the same, but we are not necessarily dinged on those things. So like, say if they were like, okay, you have to have this, this, and this, and this, then that would be our base number, right? Like whatever the mandated seats are, plus you add on whatever the third of that to be 33% PLWH, but these are all like strongly suggested from HRSA. And so we don't have, as long as we have per the CDC and of course, suggested strongly by HRSA, like particular people. So CDC wants, say, a government rep on the council. HRSA wants a third of your council to be unaffiliated positive folks. Beyond that, it's all, okay, well, what's your representation like across service providers, government appointees, and consumers of services? So like, say, for example, like, most EMAs or TGAs having like a dozen people. I mean, Elaine knows this up in Marin, like it's supposed to be like just a mix. And so if a dozen people only are service providers, HRSA will side-eye that for sure. Mm-hmm. But if that dozen is like, okay, four service providers, four community members, four government folks, that's fine and dandy. Does that make sense, Thomas? That's why we can grow or contract sort of just as it goes, as long as we try to stick to those parameters. Great. And so I wouldn't change that 50 because it's just kind of cool that we would allow up to 50. I love shocking people. The only people that aren't shocked, it's just a fun fact, is the New Orleans Planning Council, which at one point had almost 100 members, if you can believe that.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Wow.
Well, maybe we should do that.
No, I mean, that was just so wild.
We can be better. We can be competitive.
So any other thoughts, comments, suggestions? Everybody has their assignment for the next meeting that we're going to bring into the discussion next month.
Yeah, so just to reiterate, council staff will work on stuff. We'll have our own internal meeting. And then we'll bring hopefully a list of stuff. There's a resource guide out there that's electronic and hard copy that we could literally just walk through. And then your homework is like to think of your own of stuff, because that resource guide does not include every single thing.
Yeah.
And then I guess the sub homework that Cesar gave was like those folks who would be partners to council staff, just sort of think about what you think would be important to say so that we don't get into. So it's both like natural, but also like the points are being made, like why you join, what the experience is like, and why it's important to the community.
Great. Any other thoughts? Well, this is great. This is a good discussion. And we are committed to moving this forward and not have this conversation again 1 year from now, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Or 2 weeks from now.
And no repeat discussions. Keep going.
At least we know that what we're going to be discussing next month will be different. It'll be in advance from what we are doing today. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. If there's nothing else, our next meeting is on Thursday, March 9th from 3 to 5. Everybody got that in their calendars?
Yes.
And you know that this discussion is going to be juicy. So we will see you next month. Can I get a move to adjourn? No. Thank you, JP. Seconded. All in favor? Yay. Okay. Thank you, everyone.
All right. Take care, everybody. Good job.
Bye. See you next month.
Bye. Yes.
Very dynamic facilitation, by the way. Good job, Professor.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Crown, we're the last. Let me end the recording.
Yeah, I was going to say, hey.